Great to have you here this morning. Well, as you've heard, we're starting off a new series as Paul writes to the church in Rome. But as we begin, I want you to pretend like maybe something was a little different. Paul wasn't writing a letter to the church in Rome, but he was writing a letter to the church in Earlwood. To the saints in Earlwood, what would he call us to do? Would he call us to have more faith in God? Would he call us to be brave, to actually evangelize, tell the good news of Jesus to our friends and family? Would he call us our culture has towards sin and actually live godly lives? What do you think Paul would call us here in Earlwood to do? Well, this morning, as we start our series on Romans, we need to know that this book is a masterpiece. It's often called Paul's masterpiece. It's dense, it's deep, it's rich. It's sometimes actually really difficult to understand. It's like a vast mountain range with lofty snow-capped peaks, and we're at the bottom of it with our backpacks on and our shoes ready to tie up. But as we look up at this daunting mountain, we need to remember why it's there. You see, the Apostle Paul did not write a doctrinal thesis. He did not write a theoretical book. He wrote a letter to a church that happened to be the most strategic place on the face of the planet, the heart of the Roman Empire, and to Christians gathered from both Jewish and non-Jewish backgrounds, and he wrote to them for a reason. And this reason will form the basis of our time together this morning. Paul here does not call the church to have more faith. He calls them to the obedience that comes from faith. And check out the fifth verse. You have it there in front of you, Romans 1 verse 5. Put your finger on it. It says this: Paul has written to call the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. And again, at the end of the book, the second last verse, at the start and the finish, Paul puts it like this. He has come so that all Gentiles might come to the obedience that comes from faith. Obedience and faith, holiness and love, a changed life and a changed heart. This morning, I want you to heed Paul's call, to take seriously his challenge to the obedience that comes from faith. To help us get to that point, we're going to have 3 points for us. On the inside of your bulletins, those three are wrong, so if you have a pen, scratch them out. It's changed since going to print. We're going to be looking at obedience first, then faith, then God. Obedience, faith, then God. And we'll firstly look at what Paul means by obedience. And next, we're going to look at how this obedience relates to faith. And finally, see how this can only come from God. Well, why don't we pray and ask for God's help as we open his word. Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, that it does not speak in theory alone, but it shows us in practice what it means to live out our faith. Help us to be inspired this morning to do that, to live as your people in this world. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to start off with obedience. Now, that's a word that's a little on the nose in our culture, isn't it? You see, our culture champions human autonomy, the ability for the individual to determine what is right, what they should be doing. We are often told in our society to disrupt, to rise up, to question authority. Our children are encouraged by advertisers to pester their parents and to get what they want. As students are less and less likely to be respectful towards their teachers. And even doctors are openly questioned about vaccines. We live in a culture of alternative facts, where the individual becomes the authority. And when this is the case, obedience is the last thing on the mind. We also see this work out of the morality of our culture around us. Sex has gone from a taboo subject to a commodity, easily traded, seemingly without any consequence. Drugs like marijuana are now legally available in Canberra. Sydney is getting a second casino, are right next to the harbour bridge, not hidden away somewhere, right there so the world can see. As we shared a couple of months ago, New South Wales, abortion is now decriminalised. Each part of these different aspects of our culture, we see autonomy, the right of the individual championed, and obedience and submission to what authorities is scoffed at. And the rise of this culture, actually, has seeped itself into the church. Now, sin is no longer an affront to God, but a mistake weak people make. Now, Jesus is rightly described as the friend of sinners, but his call for sinners to sin no more is overlooked. We are often told that God loves everybody just the way they are, but we forget that God never leaves us just the way we are. Paul wrote to a church in Rome surrounded by a similar culture of disobedience to God and his words, a place of false pagan worship, of loose sexual practices, of blatant disregard for God. And his call to them is clear. He says, the obedience that comes from faith. He actually calls them to obedience. Now you might ask yourself, what right does Paul have to call this? What authority does he have to require this of the church? And what authority does he have to require us of the same? Well, we actually see this in the beginning of our chapter this morning. Paul shares in verse 1 that he is an apostle, writing in Holy Scripture with the full authority of an apostle sent by God. Paul's authority is grounded in the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, the long-expected Messiah of the Jews, the King of Kings descended from David, the Son of God who rules forever in heaven on his heavenly throne. It is this Jesus that Paul is called to have obedience to. And Paul actually has the right given by Jesus to call others to what Jesus requires of him, obedience. So then what on earth, what kind of obedience is Paul talking about here? Is he talking about an obedience that comes from self-justification, from working really, really hard, from slaving away joylessly to earn God's favor through good works? Is he talking about an obedience that forms the basis for our right standing before God on that final day? Is that what Paul's requiring? Is that what he's calling? Well, no. Paul is not talking about that kind of obedience, the obedience that precedes faith. If you have come here this morning, friends, feeling weary and tired from working slavishly to try and earn God's acceptance and approval, Paul actually has really good news for you. You can stop. You can rest. You see, self-justifying obedience will never get you what you're striving for, so you can stop striving. So if that's not what Paul's talking about, what's the kind of obedience that he is talking about? Oh, look at again verse 5. Through Jesus, we receive the apostleship to call all Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith for his namesake. The obedience Paul calls for is the obedience that comes from faith, that stems out of faith, that follows faith, that doesn't go before faith. And this brings us to our second point this morning. You see, before Paul became a Christian, he, in fact, was a very obedient man. He was a stickler for the rules. In fact, he was probably one of the best. But this all changed when Paul met Jesus face to face. Suddenly, Paul was given a different reason to obey God. Not to justify himself in God's sight, to earn his way to heaven, but because he had already been justified. That Jesus had already done the very thing that Paul was working so hard to do. You see, when Paul met Jesus on the road to Damascus, he became aware that he had got obedience around the wrong way, He thought obedience came first and faith came second. But Jesus showed him that faith comes first and obedience proceeds from it. It comes after it. Paul realized here that actually he couldn't earn his way to heaven. There was nothing that he could do that God would look at and say, all right, you can come into heaven now, you've done enough. That's what kept Paul working so hard. Instead, Paul could rest in the knowledge that Jesus had already done what he could never do. Paul then put his faith, his trust, his dependence, not in himself, but in Jesus. So then, if faith is all you need, why does Paul still call Christians to obedience? Well, it's because obedience shows our faith is real. Let me say that again. Obedience shows our faith is real. You see, friends, we are not called to self-justifying obedience, but the obedience that comes from faith, that comes after faith, that stems from faith. You see, our faith can never be divorced from our obedience. They can never be separated. If you trust God in word and not in deed, then you do not actually trust him at all. And if we're honest with ourselves, we are all tempted to do this, to believe that claiming faith is enough, that we are saved by grace and grace alone, and because of that, our life is unimportant. Friends, that is a lie. Hear what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2. By grace you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works so that no one can boast. But don't miss the second part of what Paul says there. For we are God's handiwork created in Christ Jesus to do what? To do good works. Or as Paul writes in Romans 1, our passage for today, in Romans 1, 7, he says, to all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be his holy people. They work together. In fact, the call to obedience is the main reason Paul wrote this letter. Because like us, they were tempted to believe the lie that Christian obedience was unimportant. But Jesus gave Paul a mission. He gave him a call. He was to call God's people to obey God. And not to get them right with God, but because they already were. And as we will see, this is not obedience alone, but it's the obedience that comes from faith. Friends, we need to heed Paul's warnings here. It is not enough to say we have faith. It is not enough to say that I've got grace, so nothing else matters. Friends, godly living really does matter. Obedience really does matter. Because it shows our faith is real. Yes, we are saved by faith alone, but saving faith is never alone. Or as Jesus says in John 14, verse 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Friends, I know this is hard. I know this is a hard thing to do. I too have a sinful nature that is crying out for me to buck the trend, to fight God, to disobey him. We all have weak bodies riddled with sin and weak minds prone to wander from our God. On top of this, we are up against the spiritual forces of Satan, who is wanting us to give up on holiness. But friends, it is the height of foolishness to gamble with our salvation like this. You see, faith, claiming faith in Jesus, can never be a license to sin. We can make another mistake too, though, and think maybe because we've been obedient in the past that too can be a license to sin. But it's not. We are saved by faith alone, but saving faith is never alone. Some of us this morning need to be real with ourselves. We need to right now say sorry to God for the times where we've claimed faith and not lived it. Some of us need to turn back to God right now and say, I'm sorry, and to commit to living a life of obedience to the good commands of God. Because, friends, they are good, aren't they? His commands are good, aren't they? They protect us from heartbreak and sorrow. His commands teach us to value others, to love even our enemies. His commands reorder the universe to put the master in charge and show us the way we were meant to live. That's what we're being called to. But as I said before, living a life of obedience that comes from faith is hard. So our final point shows us that this all comes from God. From the outset, we need to see God's hand in this process. It is God who has started the solution. It's Him who lived the perfect life of obedience and offered to swap His perfect life for our sinful one. And friends, when we have faith, we are coming to God with empty hands and accepting the most wonderful, ridiculous offer that could ever be made to us. Friends, when we put our faith in Jesus, we are believing the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And the gospel needs to start with the realization that we need it, that we are more sinful and more flawed in ourselves than we ever dare believe. And only when we accept this truth, when we put our faith and trust in another to do what we cannot do ourselves, only when we come to the foot of the cross and look up at Jesus and look full into His beautiful face, that we accept that because of our sin, that should be us hanging there. You see, the gospel says that obedience that comes from striving is not enough, that our sin actually taints our obedience, that we can't do it to get into heaven. But it also takes us to the foot of the cross and see how God has done it for us. You see, at the very same time, the gospel says that we are more loved and more accepted in Jesus than we ever dare hope. Friends, do you believe that? Do you really believe that? That there is a God who would love you that much? If you do, then you have faith. Faith in the gospel. And He provides for you something that you could never do yourself. He actually provides the perfect life you could never live. That you are right in God's sight, 100%. And this is why the weary and heavy laden find rest for their souls in Jesus. Because this gospel is given as a gift by God. Or as verse 16 of our passage says, the gospel is the power of God that brings salvation to all who believe, all who have faith. But the gospel doesn't finish there. And this is what Paul's getting at. The gospel reveals to us a God who calls us to live a righteous life. Now, as we've already seen, this life we are called to live must start with faith, dependence and trust in God. But as verse 17 says, this is a righteousness that is from faith from first to last. Just as is written, the righteous will live by faith. But it also can't finish with faith. Faith is one side of the coin. Obedience post faith is the other. Friends, if you are missing one side of those coin, then you have a different coin. That is not the gospel. The gospel is the obedience that comes from faith. So where does this leave us? Well, it leaves us with a choice to make. How will we live in light of this gospel? And for some of us, this will be a reminder to avoid the trap of continue to work hard to earn God's approval. It will actually be an opportunity to rest, knowing that all of our obedience that God requires of us to get into heaven is already done. It's already finished. And for others of us, this will be a reminder to avoid the trap of seeing faith as a license to sin. And friends, it's only through the power of God that we will be able to walk this tightrope of faith and obedience. And like any other balancing act, how do you actually stay stable? And when you're getting pulled in one direction and pulled in the other, well, you need to focus on the end, where our Father is warmly smiling at us and beckoning us to come as we put one foot in front of the other. There'll be days where we'll feel shaky. That's okay. He's still there at the end saying, come, come. When we look full into his face, when we marvel at what he's done for us at such a great cost, when we meditate on his word and pray for his spirit of holiness to fill our lives, when we commit each morning to waking up and daily waging war with our sin and wiping off the dust from our head when we have fallen down and blown it again, when we commit to this, when we look forward to spending an eternity with him, embraced by his perfect love, friends, then we will be heeding the call to the obedience that comes from faith. Let me finish with the words of an old hymn. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. Whilst we do his good will, he abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.